years. And, you know, I think with the brand that we'll have in the SEC, that even though we don't have our own network, the association with the schools associated with will raise our university even more so than having our own channel, to be quite honest.
That was Jeff Long on the show of many names this morning, talking about the SEC network and some of the things going into it. We'll play more of that later on if we get the time. But right now we go to the Revolution Hotline, because guess who's standing by?
Yes, my man. Our man.
He has relocated to Louisiana, but he is certainly near and dear to our hearts. He is Jeff Money Taylor. And he joins us on the Revolution Hotline. Jeff, how are you, my man?
Good. I'm doing great.
Well, it is the first weekend in May, which, of course, means, you know.
It only means one
Kentucky
thing.
Derby. Kentucky Oaks, Kentucky Derby. It's good stuff. So, boy, we talked to Dick Girardi of the Philadelphia Daily News this week. So many great storylines for this year. I mean, when you think about Rick Pitino, you think about female jockey, black jockey. You think about, you know, just a really intriguing 20-horse field. I mean, there's just a lot of different storylines. So go where you choose, and let's have a Derby overview.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, this is, of course, too, we haven't mentioned it. This is the first year that it's been a point system versus earnings to assemble the field, and the likely event that it oversubscribes and it things to every year. And you know, it may be a little bit too early to say what the results of that point system was, but if they were after an evenly matched field, then they certainly got it, because even though there's the undefeated Verrazano in there, he's not even the favorite in the race. It goes Florida Derby winner Orb, who has done absolutely nothing wrong himself. But top to bottom, I read a very intriguing article in the Race Reform last night that even the 50-1 ordinarily would be throwouts. There are actually one or two in there that at that price point, believe it or not, that could get the job done when they're going to buy that bird, and a couple of other recent winners that have paid box cars. But just a tremendous betting race, and you say so many sub-stories to dwell on. It's been a media dream up there this week because, you know, if you just turn over a rock, you'll find a story, which is, makes our job as journalists a little bit easier. But a fantastic field, and as always, it's not called the fastest 2 minutes in sports for nothing, because it is a great spectacle.
Well, and if you throw in the fact that we have an off-track tomorrow, it really gets interesting. Mm-hmm.
It does. It does. And that, again, I'm not to say that I let track and condition influence me, but it's just one of many factors that you have to consider, and again, I think perhaps the racetrack will be in decent shape. I don't think they're predicting a lot of rain, but anything you add water to dirt, things happen, and sometimes strange things happen in horse racing. So it'll be very interesting. The likelihood of rain looks greater and greater now as the forecast becomes a little bit more refined. So I think something that we can sit down tonight and maybe within the back of a mind anyway, expect an off racetrack. But they'll do everything in their power to get it respectable. They always do up there. They have an army of track workers that will be out there, and their track superintendent's one of the best in the world. So it will be a safe track. It just may be a weapon.
Jeff, can I ask a stupid question?
There is no such thing as a stupid question. The only one that goes unasked.
Well, there we go.
I disagree, but so be it.
When we talk about the track being, how does that affect the horses? I mean, does it the sprinters, do they become less important because you can't get off to that good start, or you can't get any early speed, or does it mean that a closer then runs closer to the front? I can kind of see it in football, and other, when weather affects, you know, you don't pass the ball as much, you try to run up the middle. But how does it affect the race itself?
Well, physiologically, you know, some horses just seem to be affected by it more than others, just like some humans do better walking on an icy sidewalk. And I'm going to say balance is involved here and confirmation, certainly. But there are numerous schools of thought. Again, I don't try to maybe factor in the track condition. If it happens, it happens. It's got to be pretty obvious to me, a horse that either has moved up a ton over an off-racetrack in the past or that has regressed noticeably for no other reason in the mud, then that will affect my handicapping. But as far as speed goes, there's arguments that the horses in front enjoy much the best of it, much like you wouldn't want to be behind a tractor spitting mud at you. You know, you lose interest. And there's so many things involved. But then they say that, you know, the track gets deeper and the closers do their best running late, so they're going to be more effective. And it's such an integral part of our game is track condition. And the synthetics have taken some of that mystique away, because there is no such thing as a muddy synthetic racetrack. And that's an argument for another day. I'm not a particular fan of synthetics, but I try not to let it influence me too very much, Bill. It's got to be pretty obvious, yeah. As I said, given a horse's history, has he moved up over a muddy racetrack in the past significantly for no other reason, or has he regressed for no other reason over a muddy racetrack in the past?
Well, nobody is going to be busier this weekend than Todd Pletcher. 5 horses in the Kentucky Derby, 4 horses in the Kentucky Oaks. So let's start there and look at that field, Jeff. It is. I actually read a column this morning. Somebody's making the argument that you even have maybe a little more competitive field, even in the Oaks, maybe an even harder one to call. So what are your thoughts on that race, and then we'll move on into the Derby?
Well, the Oaks, to me, again, it's been the headline all week long. It was expected, and when the entries were drawn earlier this week, it did turn out to be very, very true. A lot of early pace in the Oaks. I think that's the most obvious handicapping factor that anybody can conclude when you do look at the race going in. And Fletcher, having several horses in there, not to say they're going to be in concert, shall we say, because there are different owners involved, but he's going to ensure an honest pace. His fillies are just that way, along with so many others, including a Rose to Gold, who saw such a successful front-running style in the Fantasy at Oaklawn in her last start, but she's not going to get a lonesome lead in there. Nobody is. And I think it almost has to set the race up for somebody that can come from off of it. And unfortunately, the two primary players in there that like to pick up the pieces are going to be probably the two shortest fillies in the field. Number 4, Unlimited Budget. That's Todd Fletcher. She is undefeated in 4 starts. Looked very, very settled in winning the Fairgrounds Oaks earlier this year. She laid off the pace, and when Castellano said go, she went. And that's the kind of trip I think that's going to win this afternoon. And that's why I'm going with her. Slight choice over Dreaming of Julia the 8, another Todd Fletcher horse. And he has just got a wealth of horses in, as you say, this weekend. This was a 22-length winner last time at Gulfstream and the Gulfstream Oaks, and she literally ran out of the TV. It was so far back to the runner-up, it wasn't funny. She didn't beat the kind of field that she faces today, but she, again, has that good stalking, settling type of running style, and looks like she could be any kind. I know Girardi probably was very fond of her, given her big speed figure. Dick's a big, big speed figure guy, and 114 buyer number off that Gulfstream win was astronomical, the biggest thing that I've ever heard of coming from a 3-year-old filly. So she's going to take a lot of beating. I'm going to go for a little bit better value. I think Unlimited Budget may be in that 4-to-1 range price-wise, and that will get me. But certainly Dreaming of Julia will be on a lot of my Oaks double or Oaks Kentucky Derby doubles that starts today.
Okay, so let's move on to the big race tomorrow. Again, 20 horses packed in there. It's always interesting, and again, if we have an off track, it could be really interesting. So where are you going here?
Well, given the evenness of the field, and, you know, I've mentioned Fletcher already twice with the two fillies that I talked about in the Oaks. He's got 5, as you mentioned, in the Derby. He has won, I think, for 37 in his Derby starters, and that's not the kind of number that usually you would go after. But I just keep coming back, Justin, the Delta, number 10 in their Palace Malice, 20-1 in the morning line. You've got the very crafty Mike Smith up, who we saw almost steal the Derby with Bodie Meister last year after the two won the Arkansas Derby a couple of weeks previous. Mike Smith takes over for Garrett Gomez, who does ride at Jack, another very live horse tomorrow. But give me Mike Smith in this kind of field and this kind of traffic, and I'll take him every time. They're adding blinkers to Palace Malice. I think that's going to keep him a little bit focused. He was a runner-up in the Bluegrass in his last start. Due, I think, in large part, we got a little bit lackadaisical down the lane, started looking around a little bit, a little unsure of himself, and I think the equipment change with the addition of blinkers is going to keep him very, very focused. My primary angle, and I have not heard it mentioned from any corner this week, is the fact that he is a son of Perlin, and Perlin, as we know, was 2-time Horse of the Year, Arkansas Derby winner. I think he won 2/3 of the Triple Crown when he was a 3-year-old. He was not able to stand up in that synthetic when he was the heavy favorite in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita. I believe that was back in 08. The first year ever the Breeders' Cup series was run on artificial. He was obviously uncomfortable with it. I'm thinking an offspring of his also was going to have that trait. And Palace Malice to run such a bang-up race over not preferred footing, the synthetic at Keeneland and Bluegrass in his last start, I think makes him very, very live today. He was a nightmare of a trip in Louisiana Derby, 2 starts back, when he had nowhere to run for the entire length of the stretch. And trouble is often overstated, but he literally had nowhere to run, never gave it up. He finished 7th, split the field, despite that nightmarish trip. He's very good right now. He's been training very well. And all these factors combined, despite Todd Fletcher's poor record in the Kentucky Derby, I'm going with Palace Malice, and I hope we'll get at least 20-1, and I think we will.
All right. Jeff, we appreciate it, man, and we'll catch up again here soon, and we'll I guess we'll keep an eye on how things go. I don't know if we're going to get a Triple Crown winner this year, but we'll see how step one
hardest
goes.
Hardest thing to do
weekend.
In sports, I believe it. Yeah, hardest thing to do in sports.
It is. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, kind of see, at least for one race, we'll have a potential Triple Crown winner until they run the Preakness. But we'll chat again in 2 weeks prior to the Preakness.
All right, very good. Jeff, thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
That is Jeff Money Taylor on the Revolution Hotline.
Have you read the transcripts of this totally going in a different direction of this Reese Witherspoon arrest?
I watched the video of it. It was
great. The video is great. When you read the transcripts.